Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning as well. And what a tremendous blessing it is to know that when you confess and forsake your sin before the Lord Jesus Christ, He can completely wash those sins away and give you a new start, a new beginning. What a blessing that is. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 9 this morning. Great Bible story here, the Pool of Bethesda. So many great truths that are presented to us in this story. And yet I believe this is where God would have us to be this morning with the truth that I'll be preaching. John chapter 5, if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 9. The Bible says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you once again this morning, what a tremendous blessing it's already been just to sense your presence in this place. Thank you for each one that have taken advantage of their opportunity to be here. And I pray, God, that you would speak to each one that's here in a way that they know it's coming from you. In a way that, Lord, as it is received and acted upon, can make a difference in their lives. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The Pool of Bethesda is another one of those apostolic mysteries for healing. But instead of looking and discussing that, I want you to see what Christ presents to us. And we know that anything you find in the Bible, God has a purpose for putting it there. And He has truths that He wants us to gain from these Bible stories and biblical principles that we might learn and apply to our lives as well. But with all this going on, and it explains to us what would take place, and all the great multitude was there, but Christ brings to us one man. And all the multitudes of the sick and impotent, those that were around this Pool of Bethesda, He presents to us, the Bible says, a certain man. In verse 5 and 6, this is what it says, a certain man was there. I believe this was something that had been designed by an almighty God to be able to present this man and all that took place here for all of us of this church age for some 2,000 years to learn from and be blessed by. And so He says a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Now remember, he had this infirmity for 38, that's a long time, 38 years, living with this infirmity. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time In that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? So there's a certain man, he reveals to us that he had this infirmity for 38 years and had been there, possibly by the poolside of Bethesda, a long time, wanting to be healed. I want to preach a message to you this morning that I've entitled, as we study this passage of Scripture and this one man and the example that God has given to us through him. And the message is help for facing the frustrations of life. Help for facing the frustrations of life. Now, the definition of frustration, according to our Webster's dictionary, says it's a feeling of dissatisfaction, often accompanied by anxiety and or depression, resulting from unfulfilled needs or unresolved problems. So I believe as we looked at this man, I can certainly see how frustration would have controlled his life. Unfulfilled needs or unresolved problems. I believe he would have had both. The Bible reveals him to be an impotent man. That means powerless to do anything about it. Powerless to change it on his own. As we study this, we find, first of all, his frustrations. In verse 7, he says, the impotent man, powerless to do anything on his own, answered him, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, he was there because of what it represented. And so when he would see this troubling of the water, which would take place, the Bible says, in a season. Now, we don't know much about that, whether it was maybe four times a year, maybe it's just one time a year. We don't know exactly anything much about this. This is just a story, and there's been many questions and many discussions about what this pool of Bethesda was all about. I can't tell you that because the Bible doesn't explain it, but the Bible does tell you it did exist. And Jesus used this to bring this example to us and the message from this example of this, no doubt, frustrated individual. And so he says, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, how many times did he attempt to get in the pool? He had an infirmity for 38 years. How long had he been there? How often would he travel to camp out by the side of this pool of Bethesda when they knew that it was coming close to the time when the troubling of the water, because the Bible says it would happen in a season, and they would have known about this, and he was seeking this healing, and he thought that the only way that he was going to be able to find this healing was to go to this pool of Bethesda and be the first one in. Now, I can imagine the first time he went and he was just kind of really ignorant to what was taking place, and he possibly didn't get there early enough and he was too far away from the water and the water was troubled and he started making his way. Well, there was a multitude of impotent people there. There was a multitude of those in need of help, in need of healing. And so because he was so far back, when he got up, as soon as he got up, there was somebody already in the pool. And he would have thought, I'm going to do better next time. I've learned now. And so the next time he probably would have got there a little earlier. He would have camped out a little bit closer to the pool. And so he finds it that the next time he was there, maybe a little closer, thought he had learned from that. And he got there and somebody else beat him in. So this might have went on for possibly 38 years. He had this infirmity. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we find it that he had been there a long time and he thought this was the only way for me to find healing. And so he would have tried something different. And then he finally came to the conclusion, I can't do it on my own. I need a man. I need somebody to help me. And because there's others that are able to get there faster than I. But can you imagine the frustration of every time? Maybe he got that close. And right before, he said, I'm here, I camped out, I've been here for a long time, I beat everybody else here. And right before he falls into the water for the healing, somebody else got in before he did. Frustrations of life. You know, there's minor frustrations of life that all of us experience. Some have a better time with it than others. But checkout lines. I preached on patience this morning in Sunday school and how important it is for us to have patience to the coming of the Lord. That's something that I'm still working on. Amen. I like to just have it and get it done. I don't have time for lines, amen? But you have to stay in line. So I'm always looking, all right, which line do I think is going to go the fastest? And it's guaranteed whatever line I choose is going to go the slowest. And you get in one and you say, boy, it's going faster. That whoever's at the counter there, she is or he is, well, whoever it might be, they're just taking it through. And as soon as you get in the line, it just comes to a stop. And you're looking around and every other line is just flying by. And you think, and so you think, all right, I'm going to jump lines. And the moment that you jump the line, you find it stops. And the one you were in, now it takes off. I don't know. Am I the only one? I don't think so. By all the laughter out there, there's no doubt there's more than I that have been involved in the frustration, the minor frustrations of checkout lines. There's also the minor frustrations of stoplights. Especially when you're in a hurry. And it seems like every light turns red right before you get to it. And the ones that are green, there's somebody in front of you anticipating it turning yellow. It's still green. Go! There's minor frustrations of life. And I could probably go through a few other illustrations, but I think everyone here understands there's minor frustrations of life. Then they become more serious frustrations. Car problems. If you've been driving for a long period of time, if you've had several cars, I'm sure that everyone here can relate to having a limit at some point in your life. Amen. I mean, even the government realized how frustrating it could be to have a car that you purchase that becomes a lemon, and they have the lemon law. Amen. I love that. I thought that's great. They want to help possibly take away from the driving frustrations. Praise the Lord for that, because everyone here can identify with that. I had a Volkswagen Rabbit that I bought as a total. I repaired it. I fixed it. Maybe that was a problem. I don't know. But it had an electrical problem with the fuel pump. It was an electrical fuel pump. And every time I would check it out, everything, or had somebody else check it out, it was fine. Nothing wrong. But then when I'd get out on the road, especially when I get as far away from home as I could, it would just simply stop working. And I would be so frustrated. I think, and I've done everything, I've checked it out, and I pull over to the side of the road, and then I'm going to have an expense of getting it towed back in or whatever. And there's frustrations. It's a little more serious because now it's having the money for these car repairs. And sometimes you own a car that's a lemon that just drains you of all your money, and you're thinking, this is frustrating. And then there's house repairs. You know, they say appliances last for 10 years, doing good if you get 15. Well, it seems like they all go out at the same time. You know, you have the furnace go out, and you finally pull enough money together to possibly have that repaired or replaced, and then as soon as you do, then the washer goes out. And then you try to get, and then the dryer goes out. And then the dishwasher, whatever it might be, and you're thinking, can I catch a break here? Come on. Why is all of this happening? The frustrations continue. And then you have the very serious frustrations of life. When you lose your job, and there's no income, and there's no way of providing for your family, and you're willing to work, and you go, and you try to get a job, and you're either overqualified or underqualified. And somebody else is always getting the job right before you do. Or possibly you started sensing some physical problems. There's nothing like continuing to have physical problems one after the other. You know, I remember several years ago I had injured my back and really doing nothing. It just pinched a sciatic nerve. And I'll tell you, if anybody's ever had a pinched sciatic nerve, you understand how painful that can be. And you can't get around. You can't move. You can't, and you're thinking, I can't work. I can't do this. I can't even think straight, and on and on and on. And it's frustrating to know I want to do this, but I just can't physically do this. This man was frustrated. I don't know that any of us could look at and put ourselves in that situation, 38 years infirmity, not able to take care of himself, no power to do anything about it, not having anyone there. And every time, right before he was ready to get in and to find the healing, somebody else. You think, why them and not me? Why is somebody else always catching all the breaks and seems like I can't get a break? Frustrations of life. I love this little example there that the Bible gives us. 38 years, certain man, been there a long time. Well, through God's grace and mercy, Jesus finds him and he asks this question. And God has got grace and mercy available to whosoever. Amen. But he asked this question. Verse 6. Will thou be made whole. You might say, do you really have to ask? You know this impotent man had been there, and you know he'd had an infirmity for 38 years, and he had been frustrated by not somebody else getting there right before he did and not having somebody to help him. Do you really have to ask, will you be made whole? Well, when you understand who it was that was doing the asking, it was an almighty creator God who had been manifest in the flesh to come to seek and to save that which was lost. You realize that he was not just asking, is there a desire? But are you willing to do whatever I say to do? There's a difference. I'm frustrated with this, and I desire the frustration to go away. I've had an infirmity 38 years. I want to be healed. And if it was all about a desire, you wouldn't have to ask. And that's not what he was asking. He was saying, are you ready to do whatever it is I tell you to do? Will you do whatsoever I say to do? If you're an alcoholic, are you ready to stop drinking? Do you want to get away? Do you want to have your life back? Do you want to have your family back? Do you want to get away from all the negative things that are attached to being an alcoholic, living in the gutters, living in the alleys, not having a home, not having a place, and alcohol has destroyed your life? Not do you desire to have all that back, but are you ready and willing to do whatever God says you need to do? And basically, would it be, first of all, you're really ready to give up your alcohol? And the idea, well, maybe temporarily in order to get things back. But that wouldn't have been good enough. Are you ready to do exactly what God says to do? Wilt thou be made whole? Think about this. If somebody were to say, I found heaven. It's not in outer space, we know that. You're not going to get there through a spaceship. But I found heaven. It's a different dimension. And I've built a vessel that can take you there. Not necessarily even a time machine. You get in a time machine and go back 10 years. Get in a time machine and go, no. I found heaven, and I've designed a vessel that can get you to this place of heaven. And on, as you're being transformed from here through this vessel to a place of heaven, in the meantime, all of your infirmities will be taken away. Whatever has been troubling you, whatever has frustrated you in this life, will all be gone. How much would you be willing to pay, or how much would you be willing to do to get a seat on that vessel? If you are dying, you would say, whatever, everything that I have. If you were had no reason to live, if you had lost your family, if you had lost everything that there was that you had reason to live for, you would say, I'll do whatever. If I can get a seat on that vessel, I'll do whatever you tell me I have to do, and I'll give whatever I have to give to get a seat on that vessel to be transformed. Well, this is what Jesus was asking. Are you ready to do whatever it is I say that you need to do? This was Jesus as God speaking to this man that didn't have any power within himself, did not have any other way. But Christ knew that he had the way. The frustrated man's problem is found in verse 7. The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man. See, many times looking for man's help is the cause for more frustration. Have you found that to be true? Friends, families, family members, maybe even the government. They have words. Everyone has an opinion. Everyone has a philosophy. But no real help. See, our expectations cannot be in man's help. When you're looking at the serious frustrations of life, when you're looking at the things that you can't fix, you're impotent to that, you can't fix, and no other man can fix it either. There are no machines, there are no vessels that's going to miraculously take you to a place of heaven, and in the process of taking you to the place, cure you of everything, every disease and every problem, and take it all away. There are no vessels outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus knew exactly what he had to offer this man. And he knew exactly what this man needed to be willing to do. He wanted to, first of all, get him away from expecting to be helped by man. Can I tell you, no man can get you to heaven. No church can get you to heaven. No amount of money is going to be able to get you to heaven. No amount of works is going to get you to heaven. The Bible says in Psalm 62:5, says this, listen to this real close. It says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. My soul. God knows exactly what's taking place within me and my soul. Wait thou only upon God. Stop waiting for man. Stop waiting for the government. Stop waiting for things of this earth to meet a need that you have. To take away the frustrations of life. Wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. So stop looking for and being dependent upon man's help. When Jesus came being the Son of God, and he says, "Wilt thou?" And this man still had not focused in on what it was, and he had this problem. He said, "This is what I've been waiting for. This is what I've been expecting. Some man to come and take me to the head of the line and put me in the water first." That's not what Jesus was going to do for him. But he would have something that if he did, would take away the frustrations of life. Verse 8. Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." Wow. The help that Christ offered, it would be dependent upon this man's faith to do whatever the Bible says to do. To do whatever this man, who he believed would be the Christ, the Messiah, would say to do. Today it would be, because the words of Christ live on through this Bible. This is the very words of God. This is what God has preserved for all humanity so that we might know the very mind of God. We might know exactly how God works, especially in this New Testament church age. We have the New Testament that Jesus revealed to us. We've had it for some 2,000 years that gives us the understanding of all of the Old Testament and reveals to us that Jesus was the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament. And he came to reveal the revelation of God to all humanity. And he has established this church age, as we looked at in Sunday school this morning. He's established this church age that we are to live by faith and trust in him, waiting on the coming of the Lord, which is having patience and knowing that it's coming, and waiting on the rapture, which will be the beginning of the end of the world. Knowing that it's coming, having faith to believe that it's coming. And so as I have faith to believe it's coming, continuing to do what thus saith to do. Simple as that. Have faith to do whatever the Bible says to do. Simple. But he had to do it. Can I tell you what God tells us to do today in this 21st century in order to live with in order to get rid of the frustrations of life and live with the blessings of God? Pretty simple, actually. Even a child can understand God's will for their life. But you have to do it. With right thinking, we can find help in any situation. The Bible gives us right thinking. If you're having marital problems, the Bible says this is how you need to address it. This is right thinking. If you're having problems with your children, the Bible says this is how you need to address this. This is right thinking. If you're having problems with your health, this is what the Bible says. This is how you need to think concerning as you're going through those valleys, as you're going through those frustrations of life and dealing with physical health. If you're dealing with marital problems, if you're dealing with relationship problems, if you're dealing with this, if you're dealing with that, whatever it is in life that is bringing to you the frustrations of life, God says, if you will think about these things, you can find help in whatever situation you find yourself in. Wow. Simple. But you have to do it. If you're lost here this morning, there's a lot of things that's going to frustrate you. The solution is a commitment to Christ. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Transformed. Made new. Old things are past. Behold, all things become new. You see, forgiven for your sins, forgiven for your past, given to you a new direction in life. Understanding what it takes to have the peace that passeth all understanding. For the lost man, the lost woman, the lost teenager, listen to me. I don't know what the frustrations of your life is all about, but if you're lost, I know the solution, the beginning of the help that God has for you is, first of all, get in your mind, I need to be saved. And simply call upon the name of the Lord. That's too easy. See, that's what's going to keep you from doing it. Have faith to do whatever God says to do. And according to this Bible, which is God's love letter, all you have to do is to believe and receive. And you can be saved. For the saved person, your life is filled with frustrations. The saved person, there's a lot of things. And you're frustrated with it. You're frustrated with your marriage. You're frustrated with your parenting. You're frustrated with your job. You're frustrated with this. You're frustrated with that. Can I tell you? Change your thinking. So for a saved person, what that means is a deeper commitment to Christ. Christ is still the answer. He's the answer for the lost. And He is definitely the answer for the saved. Face the physical battles on a spiritual level. And the spiritual level begins with your mind. The mind is a battleground for all spiritual activity. And can I tell you, Satan is working overtime today through society and through this world to do what? Control what you think. And put whatever doubt he can into your mind so that you won't do the very simple things that God says to do. Are you willing to do whatever God says to do? Matthew chapter 14. And we're done. Matthew chapter 14. I want to share this with you. Matthew chapter 14. Even Peter, saved, but he had to learn a lesson. Had faith, but did he have enough faith to address the frustrations of life? Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. Let me get over there myself here. Matthew 14 and verse 28. This is a passage of scripture that most are familiar with when Peter walks on water. The Bible says, and Peter answered him, said, Lord, Jesus came to them walking on water. Peter, knowing this is Christ, knowing this is Messiah, he says, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Wow, what a request. Did he have faith to believe that he could? He did. So he did walk on water. Only one outside of Christ that I know. And he said, come. Now, wait a minute. Is that difficult? He didn't say, all right, go up there, build yourself some wings, and you can do this, and put a life vest on, all the different. No, he just said, simple. You want to walk on water, Peter? Just do what I tell you to do. Step out into the water. Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, doing what Christ told him to do, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Wait a minute. He just did what he told him to do. Simple. Just step out. It went against human reasoning. It goes against what the world would tell you. The world would say, you can't walk on water. And you can't unless Jesus tells you you can. If you ask and the Bible says and Jesus says, this is what I want you to do, no matter what the world says, no matter what the philosophers of the world trying to teach you, just simply be willing to do what I say to do. Just step out, Peter. and he walked on the water. But when he saw the wind boisterous, what was happening to Satan now? Trying to confuse him, trying to put doubt in his mind. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Wait a minute. Fear is not what God would have us to live by. He was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, at first, I started walking on water, and then I started to sink. What was the problem? Doubt. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, look right here. O thou of little faith. You had doubt in your mind, didn't you, Peter? Started looking around at things around you. Started letting other things influence you other than my word. And when you do that, the frustrations of life come back. Wherefore did thou doubt? So it comes back to this help that Christ offers is, do whatever I say to do. Are you willing? Not that you desire it. Yeah, you'll have a desire for the blessings of life. You'll have a desire. But are you willing to do whatever God says to do? And for the most part, it'll be simple. But you have to do it. You have to do it. I love the song and just the chorus of it. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Just that thought. Stop expecting to find your help from the world. Stop expecting to find the solution to what's frustrating you from the government, from your family. And look to the one who holds the solutions in his hand. Sing it with me. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. That's right. That's all you need. He'll help you if you're willing to do whatever he says to do. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed.